In the crime drama We Own the Night, the writer and director James Gray continues to explore the world of New York Russian mobsters, who were the focus of his first film, Little Odessa. His new film stars Joaquin Phoenix and Mark Wahlberg as brothers on opposite sides of the law. Film critic David Edelstein has a review.
We Own the Night is a fine atmospheric cop thriller, but it's Joaquin Phoenix that lifts it into a different class. He's fresh off his uncanny Johnny Cash performance in Walk the Line, where he had the voice and mannerisms down, yet also went deeper to suggest how much of Cash's early outlaw persona was opposed to keep the world at bay. His work here is even subtler. Almost everything is under the surface. He plays Bobby Grzynski, although he goes by the last name Green, to distance himself from his family. He's the manager of a popular nightclub owned by Russian Jews and something of a druggie. His brother Joseph, played by Mark Wahlberg, is a cop, and don't stop me if you've heard this one because you have. But the writer-director, James Gray, has a loftier theme. In interviews, he says he subscribes to the Greeks' idea that your life is shaped primarily by forces beyond your control. Your destiny is fixed. We can debate whether destiny shapes character, or character shapes destiny, or whether Gray earns his whopping pretensions, but Phoenix gives his vision weight. The film is set in 1988, a high point in New York's crack cocaine-fueled devastation. We Own the Night is the new street crimes unit's slogan. Wahlberg's Joseph is helping lead it, and overseeing all is the brother's police chief dad, played by Robert Duvall, who's so marvelously at ease in his body, it's no wonder these sons have trouble measuring up. The plot kicks into gear when Joseph and his unit come to Bobby with a proposal. They're in a church, upstairs from a reception. Bobby doesn't want to be there, and is, incidentally, stoned out of his mind.
I'll be heading up this new narcotics team starting this week. Russian unit out of PSA 1 in Brighton. We're looking at this guy, Vadim Nijinsky. Served time in the Soviet Union for black market activity, come over around 1979. He's operating out of that spot, your man is El Karib.
I don't know nothing about that.
No, we know. We checked up and down the rest of the management, too. His uncle, the owner.
The old man?
Everybody else came up clean. It's just Nijinsky we're looking at.
You want me to inform?
No.
Are you kidding me?
Just observe, that's all. It's a closed community. You're our only way in right now.
Why is this my problem?
Well, the whole city's falling apart. Don't you have any sense of responsibility at all?
Let me think. No.
In many movies, the forces of destiny are dramatized by characters who can't resist the pull of criminality, like Al Pacino in Godfather 3, who says, "They just keep pulling me back in." Here it's the opposite. Bobby just keeps being pulled into law enforcement. What's amazing about Phoenix is that he makes Bobby's irresolution more powerful, more active, than other actors' resolution. The story is very conventional, which undercuts director Gray's thesis. What he calls fate, I call formula. And that thesis sometimes upstages the characters. The Russian sociopaths are far more cliched than in David Cronenberg's Eastern Promises. And Eva Mendes, as Bobby's Latina lover, starts out like gangbusters, then recedes like every other hero's girlfriend as the shoot-em-up stuff takes over. But Gray's work, here and in his last film, The Yards, has a core of authenticity that recalls the gritty New York crime dramas of the 70s. There's little in the way of music. It's mostly an ambient whine mixed with cars on wet streets and passing planes. Wahlberg's character takes some surprising turns. He overcame dyslexia to succeed at the police academy, but the tightness in his face and body signals inner panic. What really sells Gray's notion of character is, of all things, a car chase. It's shot from Bobby's perspective, in a car behind a windshield, in a hard rain. And even with his foot on the gas, he seems to be moving underwater. He can't catch up to something terrible happening ahead. When you've forgotten most of We Own the Night, you'll remember that chase and the look on Phoenix's face as events move beyond his control. And his destiny awaits.
David Edelstein is film critic for New York Magazine.